From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to answer life's essential questions soundly and persuasively, and to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. For more information, go online to equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It's always great to be in the studio, and this is a special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We are in the Christmas season. This is a time in which we celebrate what is called Advent. And I want to talk today about what the word Advent means. Not only in terms of the first Advent, but also the daily Advent and a final Advent as well. I want to start by reading a passage for you that comes from the pen of Matthew. This is his first chapter where he says, "This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet Isaiah. 'The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,' which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus." This is one of the most stunning passages in the whole of Scripture, because it talks about the miraculous, the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. And all of that leads me to ask a question. What does the term Advent mean? And how did Joshua foreshadow Jesus? Questions that come up each and every year. The term Advent, literally from the Latin Adventus, means coming. And as such, Advent is a season in which the Christian church celebrates the coming in flesh of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Advent church calendar is rife with traditions, from biblical readings to the successive lighting of candles on an Advent wreath. The glory of Advent finds its genesis in the Old Testament prophecies that point forward to the coming incarnation of Jesus Christ. For example, Moses' prophecy that God would raise up a prophet like him from among the Israelites typologically points forward to the prophet Jesus Christ. And within the context of the Old Testament, the prophecy that God would raise up another prophet like Moses was fulfilled in the future in Joshua. Remember Joshua? He led the children of Israel into the promised land, as we see in Deuteronomy chapter 31. In addition, however, there is a near future fulfillment in Joshua, but this prophecy came to be understood as pointing forward to an eschatological prophet who would lead the people of God as a new Moses, as a new Joshua. And by the way, Joshua means salvation, and he led the children of Israel into the land of promise, but Jesus will lead his people into the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. So the type is fulfilled and heightened in the antitype. Joshua the type, Jesus the antitype. The Gospel of John reveals that this glorious hope, it was alive and well in the first century, and Stephen implicitly identified Jesus as the ultimate fulfillment of this prophecy. And he did that in an impassioned sermon for which he ended up being martyred. And in that way, both Moses' prophecy and its near future fulfillment in Joshua serve as types of the great prophet of God, who would not only be speaking words of God, but was himself the Word become flesh. So all of this is beautiful. The beauty of the gospel is that Abraham, the father of many nations, was promised a royal seed. And that seed is Jesus Christ. However, as the Apostle Paul explains, all who are clothed in Christ constitute one congruent chosen covenant community connected by the cross. So here's the point. Abraham only had one seed. And Paul underscores that. He says it's not seed plural, it's seed singular. But the double entendre at the end of Galatians chapter 3 is that if you are in Jesus Christ, then you are the seed of Abraham, and therefore you are an heir according to the promise. It has nothing to do with your gender. It has nothing to do with your station in life. It has nothing to do with your genealogy. If you are in Christ, you are the seed of Abraham and an heir according to the promise. So as Paul says, it doesn't matter whether you're Jew or Greek, whether you're male or female, whether you are slave or free, if you are in Christ, you are an heir according to the promises. In other words, you have the inheritance. And this is the greatest of all inheritances. Because together with Israel, we are members of one body and sharers together in the promise in Jesus Christ. One of the things we oftentimes miss is the words of carols. Why? Because, well, they're sung faintly in the background, but they're no longer preeminent in our thinking. John S. Dwight had a poem, and on that poem was based a song called O Holy Night, one of the most beautiful carols we sing all year, but a reminder that Jesus Christ, the one who spoke, and the limitless galaxies leapt into existence, loved you, and I mean you, so much that he was willing to come in flesh. He was willing to come in incarnation in the first advent so that you could have a relationship with him, not only in time, but a relationship with him for all eternity as well. This is the message of Christians at Christmas. It is a message that you and I are called to communicate to a lost and searching world. When Jesus comes into our life, life makes sense. without Jesus in our life? Well, we are merely in a vacuum. And we seek to fill that vacuum with all kinds of baubles that ultimately do not satisfy. So this year, give the greatest gift. Give the gift of Jesus Christ. You can give the gift of Jesus Christ through the testimony of your love, the testimony of your life, and when God opens the opportunity, the testimony of your lips as well. The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season, it is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can find it on the web at equip.org. The book is available for those who support the ministry. This is the season of giving, and we're asking you to give, not to us, but through us, to touch the lives of people all around the globe. We'll be back in just a few moments with the Daily Advent. Stay tuned for that.
Every Bible Answer Man broadcast, such as the one you're listening to right now, is made possible through the financial support of friends like you. Each month, we depend entirely on God's provision through His people to bring you more of the broadcast, podcast, and other resources you rely on. If you want a sound proclamation and defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ to continue to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Call 888-7000-CRI and stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. We'll return shortly with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. While many of you will soon enter the hustle and bustle of the holiday season, Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart. Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org. Also available is The Heart of Christmas audiobook, dramatically read by Hank Hanegraaff.
For decades, Hank Hanegraaff has shared the truth of the historic Christian faith by answering questions over the radio, defending the faith through the written word, and preaching from pulpits around the globe. Today, he is ready to share his life in Christ, as detailed in his most profoundly personal piece of penmanship to date, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. Hank feels closer to Christ than ever before and wants you to learn from his experiences as recounted in Truth Matters, Life Matters More, so that you can join him on life's greatest journey, the journey toward union with God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. www.hankhanegraph.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and you are listening to a special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast as we focus on the word Advent. As mentioned in the first segment of the broadcast today, Advent means quite literally coming. Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago. And the question that I want to broach in this segment is, how can we make the coming of Christ an everyday reality in our lives? And are you willing to ask the Holy Spirit to expand Advent from a mere Christmas celebration to a daily experience of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ? The moment I think about a daily Advent, I think about Acts chapter 2, where every day the disciples, the followers of Jesus Christ, continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And as a result of that, the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Or I think about what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine. That leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, and speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Another verse comes to mind from Hebrews chapter 10. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let's consider how we might spur one another on towards love and on towards good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. All of that relevant to what I want to talk about, and that is daily Advent. The celebration of the coming of Christ in flesh is an everyday reality. And as such, we celebrate the daily Advent of Christ through prayer and through praise and through proclamation of the Word made flesh. In prayer, we have the privilege of expressing thanksgiving to the one who saved us, the one who sanctifies us and one day will glorify us. That's a sure promise. In praise, and not just during Advent, but throughout the year, we express the essence of our faith in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And in proclamation, we are to correct and rebuke and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. But there's more. Think about the fact that the daily Advent of Jesus Christ is celebrated through community and through confession and contribution. Community is visible in baptism. Baptism symbolizes our entrance into a community of believers who are one in the one who was made flesh. And in like fashion, Holy Communion is an expression of our oneness in Jesus Christ. So, as we partake of the same elements, what we're doing is partaking of that which the elements symbolize, that being Christ, through whom we are made one. A further expression of our oneness in the Christ of Christmas is our common confession of faith. So, with the community, and the confession. We experience oneness in Christ through the contribution of our time, our talent, and our treasure. I think the tragedy of modern-day Christianity is that all too often when members of the body hurt, when members of the body have needs, they're left to fill their void and bind their wounds apart from the body of Christ. How different the early church! They took care of one another. They loved one another. And as a result of this kind of love, not love that is just a word, but love that is a commitment, the pagans would look in at the church and say, "Wow, see how they love one another." And then the love of Christ would constrain the unbelievers to come in to the house of faith and to join a love fest, as it were. You know, the love that we have for one another comes from the love that Christ manifested in incarnation. Christ so loved the world that he gave himself for the world. God so loved the world that he sent his Son, the Father sending his Son, the Son sending the Counselor, and now we are brought into the life of the Trinity. We were created for fellowship, for love. Not love just for one another, but love for God. And therefore, we have two commandments. The first is we are to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind. And the second is we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. And the ultimate demonstration of that love is that we are willing to share what we have received with a lost and searching world. We're like beggars that have found bread, and we're telling other beggars where that bread can be found. This, of course, is not mere physical bread. We are here talking about the bread of life. One other point, I think, with respect to the daily advent of Christ is that we celebrate it by testifying to what we believe, why we believe, and in whom we have believed. The gospel of Christ should become such a part of our vocabulary that presenting it becomes second nature. In like fashion, defending the faith is not an option. It should be a basic competency of everyone who takes the sacred name of Christ upon their lips. And then in addition to all this, we have to be prepared to communicate the what and why of our faith and empowered to communicate the who of our faith. And that is especially essential in that virtually every theological heresy begins with a misconception of the nature of God. So again, you and I must be able to communicate the gospel. We are sinners. Jesus Christ came to redeem us from sin and to give us life that is life indeed. And so we're calling men to repentance. So you have to recognize that you're a sinner. Be willing to repent of your sin and receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. That, in essence, is the gospel. And then you're not only saved in time, but you're saved in eternity. And the life that you receive is a life that you receive in the present. And as I mentioned, the what is followed by the why. Which is to say, oftentimes before you can communicate the what, you have to be able to use your well-reasoned answer as a springboard or an opportunity to share the grace and truth and love that only Jesus Christ brings to the human heart. And the who? Well, as I just mentioned, virtually every single theological heresy begins with a misconception of the nature of God. It's important that we rightly communicate the God who has condescended to reveal himself to us in the pages of Scripture. One God revealed in three persons eternally distinct. If God were not Trinitarian, he would be morally defective, because absent the universe, there would be no object upon which God could lavish his love. And yet, God has forever been one God with three centers of consciousness. So within the Godhead, there are three centers of consciousness that love one another. And now you and I are being brought into that love relationship. So why not ask the Holy Spirit to expand Advent from a Christmas celebration to a daily coming of Christ through worship, through oneness, and through your witness? You've been listening to a special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast as we celebrate the heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season. All of the information just communicated you can find in the Heart of Christmas, available for those who support the ministry. And as we close out the broadcast, let me urge you to pray for this ministry, to support this ministry financially. Stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, or simply pick up the phone and talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time with more of the show.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer Bible questions, and encourage Christians to watch their life and doctrine closely. To find resources to help equip you, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
To fully grasp the significance of Christ's messianic role, you must drink deeply from the wellspring of Old Testament prophecy. In Hebrews, as in the rest of the New Testament, the Old Testament history of Israel is interpreted as a succession of types that find ultimate fulfillment in the birth, death, resurrection, and ascension of the Christ we celebrate at Christmas.
Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart. Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org.